Hello, and welcome to another edition of Sounds Like Comics, the podcast based out of Perth, Western Australia. I am joined by Adam Parry. Welcome.
How you doing? Glad to be here.
Now, Adam, you are the voice of EPW, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I commentate for EPW, Explosive Pro Wrestling, here in Perth. Been doing it for 10 years now. I do it under the pseudonym Dean Olsen. Hell of a lot of fun.
It is a very, very enjoyable experience. You are also a member of the Dead White Males.
I am. I play bass and do backing vocals for a band called the Dead White Males. Very 90s, sort of grungy, punky, hip-hop, noise rock.
Yeah.
We're on SoundCloud and everything if you care to give it a listen.
As the shirt says... Did you assume my genre?
Did you just assume my gender? genre. Oh, yeah.
You just shat on your own fucking pun. Well
it's
done.
Happened like all week since we got these shirts. Anyway.
Oh, man. But you are also, more importantly, a big fan of Iron Fist, are you not?
I am. I actually, I got into Iron Fist quite heavily around the time of the Ed Brubaker and Matt Fraction run, which... Can you help me out with a year?
I believe 2006.
Yeah, I was thinking five or six. Yeah. Basically, that's when they kind of... It's almost like they brought Iron Fist back to sort of like the forefront.
Yeah, they gave it that. They gave the character that prominence again, didn't they? Where they kind of re-examined the origin, gave you a bit more history for newer readers who'd seen him pop up in New Avengers and Civil War and those kind of things. And they went back and explored a little bit more of the history of the Iron Fist entity, so to speak.
Yeah, gave it a lot more substance. And not just that, they gave it an incredible team. Like, you had Brubaker and Fraction writing, and you had...
Yeah, you had like David Arger on the art.
Yeah.
You had Travel Foreman came in and did some art as well. And you just had this all-star team really motivated to work on a really strong character and do this fantastic run and give this character the prominence he kind of deserves.
Yeah. The run's called The Immortal Iron Fist. If you're interested in Iron Fist and want to check it out, I definitely guarantee that that's the one to check out. An idea of having the different artists, when they do a flashback, like it'll be drawn in a particular way, but when there'd be a flashback, they'd use a different artist.
Yeah, which I think is a great storytelling structure, or storytelling device, as it were.
Gets done a lot more now than it used to.
It does. I feel like Immortal Iron Fist kind of set the tone for that, didn't it? The reason we're mentioning Iron Fist, the... Netflix TV series has wrapped up. Obviously, as always with Netflix, it dropped within a weekend. Most people, if you're listening to this, hopefully you've done the binge watch as you do with the Netflix drops. So we are going to go a little bit in depth onto reviewing the show. We're going to try and avoid spoilers as much as humanly possible as we do with the show. We want to give an overview without just kind of badgering you with details. But we also want to give you a bit of history on the character, some of the controversies that have kind of followed the TV show developing, and that kind of thing. So was Immortal Iron Fist the first run that you dove into with the Iron Fist character?
Yeah, it was. And funnily enough, through that, I became a Daredevil fan, a fan of the Daredevil comics because of Iron Fist, just to go on a tiny little offshoot. During the
those are very welcome on the show.
Yeah, during the incredible Daredevil run by Brian Michael Bendis that led into... funnily enough, Brubaker as well. Matt Murdock got outed as Daredevil, so the public knew that he was Daredevil. He was in prison because, obviously, he's a vigilante.
Yeah.
Whilst he was in prison, Danny Rand, or Iron Fist, he posed as Daredevil.
That's right,
and I was like, oh, wow, because I had such a mad on for Iron Fist. I went and read the little bit that Iron Fist was in Daredevil and just got hooked on this.
That's it. And then you kind of dovetailed straight into that run.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if you are like the Daredevil TV show, definitely check out the Bendis and Brubaker
especially
run.
Especially that kind of dark and gritty tone for Daredevil. Like, incredible. I know a lot of people kind of go back to the classic Miller run of Daredevil, but there's so much of the Brubaker and Bendis runs of Daredevil featured in there, especially the battle for... keeping his identity secret and dealing with the fallout of his real world.
It's a 10 out of 10 run, and it's like it's a good few years worth of run.
I think it was about 5 years in the end, wasn't it?
Just
they basically
stellar.
Did like 2.5 years each, and it just never dropped in quality.
Not
at all. Which is very rare for a big comic series coming out from one of the big companies as well.
Yeah.
Really, really strong stuff. Moving on from that, Iron Fist first appeared in 1974, created by Roy Thomas and Gil Kane. Marvel premiere, he was one of those pop-up kind of characters. They were both big martial arts kung fu fans, kind of popped up here and there. They were like, you know what, this was apparently it was before they'd even seen any Bruce Lee films. They were big kung fu fans, and they basically said, all right, we have an idea for a character, we'll do a one-off kind of creation, we'll see what the response is, that kind of thing. Have you gone back and read a lot of that older period Iron Fist stuff?
I bought the Essentials. You don't have the Essential run, but yeah. I have read much of it. It's a bit of a hard read, some of the older stuff, but I've seen little bits and pieces.
It can be difficult to go back sometimes and just compare and contrast those kind of things. It is fun, but at the same time, you've got to really be in the right mindset to read when
your Supernovas or your cons come to town. I tend to grab like any sort of old back issues of Iron Fist I can just because I'm a collector and I like the character, but I they can be a bit of a tough read, but they can
sometimes fall into that little bit generic kind of like old school character fights a bunch of ninjas, fights a bunch of assassins, that kind of thing, which we'll get to with the Netflix TV series.
Also, just to set the tone, back when they created Iron Fist, Shang-Chi was already around, wasn't he?
He was. A lot of people don't realize Shang-Chi preceded him by over a year, 1973, and it was in the Master of Kung Fu series. Yep. He actually. He popped up and they had such success with this character. They kind of went, you know what, let's try something very similar, but different enough that we can bring in a new audience and hopefully capitalize on the success of the previous character. It's kind of interesting now that Iron Fist has completely overtaken Shang-Chi in terms of popularity and, you know, the runs of comics he's had as well.
Yeah, I think they tried to sort of, to use a wrestling term, they tried to push Shang-Chi a while back when Iron Fist was in the new Avengers.
They had him in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic run as well. Actually had him, I think it was Avengers World that Nick Spencer was writing. He basically was almost the Nick Fury for their version of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the Chinese version. I think they're called Spear off the top of my head.
Oh, I think I might have read something about that. But I mean, the thing is, that also leads into some of the controversies about this TV show.
It does, a lot
of the people that were picking at certain aspects of the Iron Fist TV show probably don't realize that there is a character called Shang-Chi who is...
We can address this right out of the gate rather than having to wait necessarily. It's come up quite naturally. A lot of people did straight away boycott the show on the grounds of whitewashing. Now, for me, that accusation held no weight because they've established in the story of Iron Fist that there's been hundreds and hundreds of Iron Fists over the years.
Yep.
Granted, a lot of them have been of Asian descent and that kind of thing, but there have been white Iron Fists before as well. It's not a role that's chosen based on race. It's based on ability and, you know, battling the great dragon Shaolu, the undying, that kind of thing. I said this to a few people. If they'd been doing a Shang-Chi series for Netflix and you had cast a white person, I would 100% understand wanting to boycott and feeling ripped off and feeling offended by it, because that would be a legitimate whitewashing. You'd be taking an existing character of Asian descent and turning it into something that it's not. But this was not the case with Iron Fist, was it?
No, like, I got a little bit of nerd rage at certain times because, you know, you don't read the comments.
Surely not.
You don't read the comments, but you always do. And, like, people going on about it, and, like, it made me angry because one of the main things about the character of Danny Rand being the Iron Fist is that he was never meant to be the Iron Fist.
That's it, yeah.
He's an outsider.
It's a battle against destiny.
Yeah.
It's kind of the whole run of it. It's like all these other people are destined to do these things throughout the run. And he's the wild card that's been dropped in and caused chaos.
Yeah.
Like the whole, like you were saying, the Immortal Iron Fist comic run, so much of that developed into this whole battle against destiny where he had caused such uproar amongst the other immortal weapons and the other cities of heaven that they had to basically redraw the map and redraw the rules of what an Iron Fist could and could not be, because Danny Rand existed now as the Iron Fist. And it's like, you know, just a little bit of research would show that it's not a whitewashing scenario.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people, you know, in your comment sections, that like anyone that's read it was kind of like, you guys don't even understand this character. The whole fact that he is an outsider, and it's, you know,
it can be worrying sometimes when you get those kind of knee-jerk reactions, and it's like, you don't want to be the kind of person who just dismisses people's criticisms and worries, because, you know, really, comics should be welcoming for everyone, TV shows and that kind of thing should be welcoming for everyone, but you have to do a bit of research as well. You have to know what you're getting yourself into without just knee-jerk reacting and flying off the handle as well.
It's a brutal headline, though. You saw so many headlines about, like, you know, outrage over, you know, Iron Fist and whitewashing and Danny Rand's, being Asian. And
did cast a pall over it. Almost straight out of the gate, didn't it?
Yeah.
Which is worrying.
So uncalled for.
Yeah, and especially when the trailer that first dropped was so promising. We had such a great kind of response straight out of the gate going, oh my God, we're finally going to get an Iron Fist TV show. Oh, there's so much rich history they can draw from.
I was so excited.
Yeah, I think we all were, definitely. Now, how long did it take you to get through the Iron Fist series? 13 episodes.
I watched the first, I think, 8 in the first week, because I was watching it with my girlfriend, so then we didn't see each other too much during the week. It took me about a week and a half.
Now, compared to the other Netflix series, how long did those take you comparatively?
Usually about the same. Yeah. I mean, I kind of have the same issue with all of them, because it's dumped in the one sort of time. You want to do it all in one go.
But you've got work commitments, life commitments.
Yeah, you've got your life to do, and not just that, but you try and do as many in that first night. You end up falling asleep, and you know.
And you've got to go back and rewatch, re-examine. Yeah,
just the
definitely.
Worst. But about a week and a half.
Yeah. Now, for me personally, obviously working in a comic book store, I kind of need to watch this stuff straight out of the gate as much as humanly possible, as early as possible, because people are going to want to come in and talk about it. People are going to want to have opinions. They want to know if it's any good if they haven't watched it as well. I honestly found this the hardest one to get through out of all the Netflix series so far. Normally, I'll try and do them in that first weekend. Mm-hmm. It did take me about 4 or 5 days this time.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to sort of like talk about. And then coming into doing this podcast is one of those things that I was saying to one of my friends, like, I love this character. I was so excited for this series, but it didn't quite hit the mark.
There was a lot of stuff going on where I was like, it's a good try, but I can see so many ways this particular element can be done better.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things, the more I thought about it, the less I enjoyed it as well. Now, for anyone who doesn't know what Iron Fist is, the show opens with him basically arriving, Danny Rand arriving in New York, rags on his back, headphones in, somehow his iPod still works, his classic iPod still works after all these years. I want to find out your secret, my man. But he shows up to Rand Enterprises, which is the company his father built back in the day. We don't know anything about him at this point. He shows up. Says, hi, I'm Danny Rand. I've been missing for a few years. This is my company. Now, one thing I did like about the opening of this show and the first episode, nobody just went, oh, cool, come on in.
No, they were all like, you're dead.
Yeah, you've been legally dead for several years.
You're Danny Rand, the millionaire child. Like, get out of here.
Of course you are. Please come in and have millions of dollars from us. Mm. It's like, corporate skepticism is very evident straight away. He's got to try and not only convince people, but he's also got to survive because he's shown up in this weird scenario.
He's also got to prove who he is.
Which is a big part, especially when you've just shown up in New York, no passport, no birth certificate, no evidence of who you are or anything. I mean, maybe a blood test would have been a good idea, but
true.
What do I know?
But for people that haven't yet gone to watch, so the first couple of episodes show a lot of promise. I was really excited in those early episodes, thinking of like the possibilities of where this could lead as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't like about those first couple of episodes is when we're getting all this new story on who Danny Rand is now, I felt like there should have been flashbacks. There should have been flashbacks throughout to his time in Kunlun, which is where Danny Rand, his family goes on a trip to Kunlun or to China because they work for a big corporate entity. They're going to go and do all these wheeling dealings and that kind of thing. Their plane crashes in the Himalaya Mountains. Both of his parents die in the process. Danny Rand is found by monks. He's raised in a monastery, taught martial arts, kung fu. Finds out that he is, becomes the Iron Fist through whatever means we find out later on through the show.
The place where the monks take him is in this mystical hidden city. This is where it gets very comic book like.
Yeah, of course.
It's a hidden city within the Himalayas where the gateway only opens, I think it's 10 years in the comics, but they made it 15 in the TV show.
I think to kind of give him a chance to age a little bit and that kind of thing. But in the it varies in the comics. At one point it was 50 years, and then I think they went, all right, well, there's not enough story to work with there. If it's every 50 years, it's like, oh, well, I'll guard it once and then I'll go off and do something else. But they've gone with 15 years now as a bit of a compromise sort of thing. So when it does open, it's a huge deal. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, we've got to protect this kind of thing.
But he went there, well, he was basically raised because he was like a teenager, I think, at the time. And he's basically raised with these monks learning, just becoming an ultimate martial artist.
He was right on the cusp of kind of becoming a teenager. He was like 11, 12 years old. Rebellious streak. He's listened to a lot of hip hop in his iPod. He's,
we've all been there.
The coolest white boy.
But do we say how he becomes the Iron Fist, like in the comics? Because really, one thing that I actually, because I explained it all to my girlfriend going into this, and one thing that I don't think they get across enough, they really vague over how he becomes the Iron Fist and what it all means and does.
It's one thing that
they don't spell it out.
It's one thing that the lack of flashbacks kind of fed into for me, and that's one part of the show I didn't like was the lack of mysticism. If you're going to do Iron Fist, it's quite a mystic supernatural character, really.
Yeah, in a lot of ways it is.
Especially with that kung fu background, there's a lot of things you can draw on with the Eastern philosophies and the Buddhist tendencies and that kind of thing. I felt like the show needed a lot more of the mystic.
Well, you don't, like, this isn't really too much of a spoiler, but you don't actually properly see Kunlun.
No.
You see some sort of little edges of mountains, but that's it.
That's it.
I wanted to see like these vast gardens and basically something that would cost a fortune for him to make.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to see it.
Yeah, and especially if you're going to call it the great city of heaven, Kunlun, and you're supposed to show, it's a disrespectful thing for Danny to not be here now and to be exploring in New York instead and trying to track down the villainous group, the Hand, that are sworn enemies.
Mm.
Show the city of heaven.
Yeah.
Show it being this amazing place that it's... Why would you ever leave?
Yeah. Like, and if you've seen the TV show and you don't know what we're talking about, this place looks like paradise. It's like very beautiful, lots of nice like gardens around and stuff like
it's,
that.
Yeah, it's very much like almost the... if you've ever watched Game of Thrones, it's the City of Dawn. Like you've got that kind of beautiful lush scenery.
Yeah.
You've got big parapets of castles and that kind of thing, but it's also a peaceful paradise kind of place, despite them being warrior monks and that kind of thing. There's that element of peace and calm and tranquility that if you're there, why would you ever want to leave kind of thing?
Yeah,
and they never really kind of got that across in the show.
No, they vague over a lot of things, especially some of the origin stuff of him becoming the Iron Fist, which is obviously the crux of the bloody story.
Yeah.
Once every generation, is it also?
Yeah, one child, a group of children are kind of put up against this creature called Shao Lao the Undying.
It's basically a dragon, a big bloody dragon.
Yeah. Which every time if you are able to defeat it in combat, you plunge your hands into its chest.
It's like a molten heart. Your hands into it and then...
And it transfers the chi of the energy into your fist. You become the new the living weapon, the immortal Iron Fist. We never see any of that.
No. And I read before watching this show they weren't putting in because the dragon would be too expensive. I'm like, you know what? I can live with that.
I respect that, yeah. Like, if you... Part of me is like, you don't need to show the dragon necessarily.
Let people know about it, though. And they do,
yeah.
But in a roundabout way.
It's a very vague thing.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
For something that's so intrinsic to the Iron Fist legend and the story and the character, you need to at least make an episode about that.
Yeah.
At least one episode, just pure, kind of like when Luke Cage, they had the flashback episode of his origin in prison.
Oh, exactly.
You showed him escaping, you showed him going through the treatment, that kind of thing, getting his unbreakable skin. Jessica Jones, you got the last couple of episodes, you finally saw how she met Purple Man and that kind of thing. You need that episode to kind of center the whole show, and you never really got that.
Well, not everyone's read it. Like, not everyone knows it. Like us, I had a lot of my friends sort of saying to me, oh, man, Iron Fist, I don't know anything about him. I'm looking forward to the show. And all I could think to myself was, like, if I didn't know what I knew, I'd be like, what's going on?
I'd be spending a very, very long evening on Wikipedia afterwards.
Yeah. But basically, Danny Rand was, like we said earlier, not meant to be the Iron Fist, but he somehow managed to be in the cave where the dragon was, and he obviously ended up defeating it. He becomes the Iron Fist, but he wasn't the chosen one to be.
Yeah.
And when you become the Iron Fist, you've basically got this,
a sworn duty kind of thing.
Yeah.
You? Yeah.
You're the leader of this this mystical city. Like, there's a group of them, like the seven capital cities of heaven. Is that
correct?
The right?
That's
correct.
Yeah.
And your chi force can like heal yourself and do all this stuff, and your hands are like iron. You've obviously seen the photos. His fist glows and stuff in the comics. Are kind of like. Like kind of like has a almost like a fiery element to
it. Yeah, and he has this. Once you become the Iron Fist, you end up with this dragon tattoo. Not the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Oh, no. They kind of say it's like a branding.
Yeah, that's it. You become once you're inhibited by this chi force of the Iron Fist, it's the brand of the Shallow, the Undying on your chest. And in the comics, it glows when his power becomes fully charged as well.
Yes.
You don't really get that. It literally looked like it was drawn on the spiral.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he does say it's not actually a tattoo.
Yeah.
But
which is fair enough.
Yeah, especially this day and age with body modifications and tattoos being as popular as they are.
Yeah.
We know the difference between the two.
Exactly. It could have been a lot worse.
But anyway, that's nitpicking.
That's what we're here for, man. Come on.
Yeah, okay, true. So that's basically the main
That's
sort of...
the main kind of crux of the story. So Danny Rand shows up in New York with all this new ability, this new backstory that we've only kind of hinted at later on. And he now wants to take back his company, fulfill his father's legacy of being this, this captain of industry, helping the world through all these corporate gains, because they're quite wealthy, they're quite well off, and he feels like he needs to give back.
Billionaires?
Billionaires, yeah.
And the family that's involved is the Meacham family. Harold Meacham was Danny Rand's father's,
Yeah, that was his partner. He was his business partner. Yeah. There was Wendell Rand and Harold Meacham were the founders of this business. They grew it together, and they were basically using their wealth to make a better world kind of thing.
And then obviously Danny's father died in the plane crash where he was found, and Harold Meacham they said cancer killed him.
Yes, that's right.
So Harold Meacham's two children run Rand Enterprises. That's the name they go with.
Yeah, Rand Enterprises is what they stick with despite Rand no longer being around. So you end up with Ward Meacham and Joy Meacham, who are now in charge of the company, childhood friends of Danny, but they are very skeptical. Very skeptical.
They don't believe this random hobo is is actually the young child they grew up with and used to knock around with when they were kids.
Exactly. So you get a lot of the first few episodes really deal with that kind of skepticism and them trying to basically find out if this is just a massive corporate espionage plan for them to be thrown off their game and people to steal their secrets.
Someone trying to get into the company and claim a massive share of it and stuff.
That's it.
So.
The big thing for the show, the whole run of it, is the controlling stake in Rand Enterprises.
Oh yeah,
Danny coming back into the world basically would give him a 51% controlling interest in this massive, basically like Stark Enterprises.
Pretty much, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah,
it'd be like I don't know, me showing up out of nowhere, having been dead for years, and I'm Willie Stark, and I have a 51% stake of Stark Enterprise. I know, going with Willy's a great name, isn't it? Yeah,
but
of all the names to go with.
Yeah, Joy and Ward, but like they're very well established business people as well. Ward's he's a dick.
Yeah. He's a cutthroat businessman who will get shit done by any means necessary.
Yeah, he'll walk over anyone's corpse to get what he needs the company. Joy seems a little bit more compassionate from the get-go. Yeah. She's kind of, maybe this is Danny, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think that she's got that. It's one thing I didn't like is she kind of flip-flopped back and forth a lot about whether she believed it was him or not. Ward is kind of consistent with his Patrick Bateman American Psycho kind of thing, and as the story unfolds you watch his downward spiral. That was really well done. I liked how that was handled. Where the show kind of fell down for me was how much they focused on the corporate side of things. Like, I get that it's an important thing for the Rand Enterprises side, but this show's called Iron Fist. It's not called Rand Enterprises.
Yeah.
We want to see more about Danny Rand and the Iron Fist. We need to see more of the mystic side of things. It's what's going to set him apart from the rest of the characters in the Netflix world, is you need to have... You've got Daredevil dealing with the corporate law side of things. We've seen a bit of that. You've got Jessica Jones dealing with a little bit of the corporate side of things with her dealings with Jerry Hogarth, who's her lawyer. She's a private investigator. She's had to deal with that kind of thing. Luke Cage has dealt with, political entanglements and that kind of thing with prejudice and...
The politicians in Harlem and stuff
exactly.
like that.
Yeah, you've had a bit of that. So I understand that you need to have a little bit of the corporate politics and that kind of thing to kind of link all these worlds. It's a more natural way to link them and make them all team up down the line for the Defenders TV series.
Which is the end game, really.
Exactly. And for me, Iron Fist focused it too much.
Yeah, they laid it on really thick. I mean, just sort of as much as we're sort of trying to give an overview of this show, also just, personal opinion. I've spoken to people that really dug it, people that really hated it. I've found that there was a lot of writing issues with it. I actually quite liked a lot of the acting in it, but some of the ways some of the characters were written were kind of like a bit much. Like, I have so many issues with how Danny Rand was played. I thought the actor was good, but the way how they...
I found that Finn Jones was probably the most divisive part of the whole show, to be honest, from talking to people. A lot of people didn't like the look of him. A lot of people weren't blown away with his martial arts ability.
Oh, that's a massive bone I've got to pick with this show.
Yeah. I for a show called The Iron Fist, where you've had pretty good fight scenes, great fight scenes in the Daredevil series in particular, it really left a lot to be desired in terms of it being a big spectacle. Colleen Wing, who is basically the love interest and also the right-hand man of Iron Fist by the end of the show, they did a fantastic job with her. She was unbelievable. Like, the way her fight scenes translated on screen, the way she presented herself, far and away the standard of the show, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying to someone the other day about it, I was like, Daredevil, even in the comics, is a really good martial artist, okay?
Yeah.
Danny Rand's meant to be, like, the best.
Yeah.
And his fight scenes and the choreographing of the fight scenes were nowhere near as good as Daredevil.
Yeah.
Not just that, like,
it was the inconsistency I found
Yeah, I'm trying not to just blatantly throw it under a bus, but, it's like... going into an Iron, like I've wanted to see Iron Fist on a screen for so long, and you want to see like martial arts in the style of like the Donnie Yen Ip Man movies,
yeah,
or something like that. Instead, you kind of get choreographed of like the old Three Ninjas movies. You know what I mean?
Which is
like
weird, yeah, and yeah. Especially because I think it was 2002 they were supposed to do a fit. They were planning to do an Iron Fist film when it made it into pre-production and everything. Ray Park.
Would have been great.
Was originally scheduled to play him. He went through and he read literally every Iron Fist comic that had ever been put out to that point.
And he is a martial artist.
He's also, you know, familiar with these kind of films. He'd worked on, at that point, he was working on the prequels for Star Wars.
He did X-Men.
He was Toad in that as well. He'd been in Stuntman on numerous films up to that point. So to go from potentially having Ray Park to Finn Jones with 3 weeks of martial arts training leading up to this film, which makes me feel like the whole thing was rushed because they filmed Iron Fist and the Defenders TV series back to back. For me, that's a huge mistake. That's a huge misstep. If that was going to be the case, just do Defenders first. Yeah. Have him introduced in Defenders and then go back and do the Iron Fist series to explain who he is and that kind of thing. Make the whole thing a flashback if you want to.
Well, it's like he's a martial arts character. I mean, I'm sure many people do. I grew up watching, you know, your Bruce Lees, your Jackie Chans, your Jet Lees,
definitely.
All these craven the modern day, like, you know, your Tony Jaa and like the Raid, which we often talk about.
The Protector and stuff like that as well. Yeah.
Like stuff like that is what I was wanting. Like,
it's what you expect when you hear Marvel are putting together a martial arts focused TV series with a Netflix budget.
You want some balls out awesome martial arts action and you don't really get it. A lot of the fight scenes feel a bit watered down, and like he's got like a couple of moves, like his little sort of flip kick and his little side spin kick that he uses so much, and it's like this guy's trained consistently for like 15 years and has become the immortal Iron Fist, and that's the best he can do.
And considering it, the show opens with him in this pretty good, pretty well choreographed fight scene with a bunch of security guards pulling like batons and tasers and all sorts of things, and he bests them easily.
Well, the thing that's smart about that too is that it's all defensive. He doesn't actually hit anyone. He just like basically disposes of them without actually doing any moves and sort of keeps himself safe.
Exactly.
So it sort of got me excited from the get-go, but it's like, I was just kind of like the sort of choreographing of the action scenes. It's like, the basis of the show is martial arts. It's like it needs to deliver. And
had they kind of tied it in with him, like his chi malfunctioning,
that would have been okay.
I would have been okay with like, all right, he's so reliant on his chi helping him with his abilities because he's trained with them for all these years. I need them to be able to be at my peak as the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
They didn't really do that.
No, I kept saying whilst watching it, I'm like, for someone who's meant to be like the greatest martial artist on this planet, he gets his ass kicked so much.
He takes a lot of damage. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Especially like towards the end of the season when they bring in the Hand. The Hand are if you've watched the Daredevil TV series, if you've watched Luke Cage a little bit, they're mentioned here and there. Daredevil in particular, they've become the main focus of the villains and that kind of thing. They're the mysterious ninja organization based out of the Yakuza who basically have the ability to resurrect the dead.
Yeah.
And that plays in heavily, heavily, heavily towards the end of this season.
Yeah, it's I mean they're also a big group within the world of the comics of like Daredevil and stuff like that as well. And so it was cool having that sort of direct connection between the two.
Yeah,
I like that.
That was really well.
Madame Gao, isn't it again? She was fantastic.
As ever, like she was great in the limited appearances in Daredevil. She's a huge part of the Iron Fist series. She did a fantastic job.
Yeah, and because remember there was a little nod in, was it season one of Daredevil?
Where they found the little baggie of heroin with the Steel Serpent logo on it.
Yeah,
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I lost it hard when I saw that. I was like, Iron Fist, yes.
Yeah, that was one thing I did like about Iron Fist. The seeding of the rest of the Marvel universe, like the way they tied in a lot of the Easter eggs and those kind of things, you got a feeling like it was part of this big interconnected world, and that worked really well. It was a very disjointed show.
And the Danny Rand character, like, this is what I kind of like feel bad for, which is a weird way to put it.
He was a dick.
Well, yeah, he was not just a dick. He's very sort of angsty, sort of almost like a teenager who's been
throwing a tantrum.
Like he just has this kind of like moody, sort of angsty, sort of side to him, which is nothing like the real Danny Rand. The real Danny Rand's very disciplined and like the best thing I like. When I'm picking at it, I'm thinking about the comics, whereas I speak to people that have never read the comics, the things they pick at it makes even more sense to me. People are like, if this guy's spent so long being so disciplined, he gets thrown off so easily by the tiniest of things.
That's it. Like, they did a good job showing him dealing with like post-traumatic stress disorder, like every time he thought about his parents dying, because so much of it was about getting revenge and finding who'd killed his parents and why they died. and why he was left to die in the snow and that kind of thing. And
actually, that was a really good touch how they did that.
I did like that a lot. They showed him constantly, despite trying to find his focus and find his center to focus his chi, he was haunted by this memory, like just completely haunted by it. Mm. In the comics, like in the show, they show his mother sucked out of the plane as it crashes.
It was a good effect.
It was really well done. In the comics, she's eaten by wolves.
Yeah.
It's very different. Like, so there's the whole thing of like them trudging through the snow for several days, a week or something like that.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where the father dies instantly in the plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
She's protecting them, doing the mother cub, protecting her child. And she literally throws herself to the wolves.
Yeah, and the archers from Kunlun are trying to save them.
Yeah, that's
and it. The mum meets her demise, and they basically take Danny in from there.
That's it. And that's kind of what convinces them to take him in, because it's like, he must be worth something if this mother's going to sacrifice her life.
And I was doing some reading, because that's the newer origin of Danny Rand. I read about the original origin where Meacham's with them.
Yeah.
And Meacham lets the dad Wendell die.
Yeah.
And he wants to be with the mother, and she says no. And when Danny goes back to get his revenge,
you end up with this whole
mess. Yeah, and he's like got no legs because his legs got frostbitten.
That's
in the
it.
Snow
and he's been basically seeding this whole death trap thing to basically knowing that Danny's gonna come for him at some point if he survives. He has this whole series of assassin trials to try and stop him, and eventually just accepts it. We tried not to mention Harold Meacham too much in this review, because he does play a big part in the show.
Yeah, obviously being the other side of Danny's dad in the TV show, who's a very important sort of piece to the puzzle, because like we said, it's very heavily based around the sort of like the Rand Enterprises dynasty and what they're doing. And obviously it's no stretch of the imagination that Danny, gets accepted within the company again. And he doesn't like a lot of the things that they do, because obviously business is very cutthroat, and people are getting wronged, and he doesn't like that. And
I think that was a big part of when they turned the whole thing into, a lot of comparisons came out for like not only Iron Man but also for Arrow as well. Coming back to this big corporate entity that's developed without him and his family guiding its hand, that kind of thing. There's a very Wayne Enterprises kind of feel to it.
Yeah. They also think he's nuts for a while. He ends up in an asylum and stuff like that. And,
which I thought was really well handled.
I thought it was too. And
it gave you that level of frustration that he must be going through in that period. Like, I've come back, I'm trying to do the right thing and, help all these people and get, to get justice for my parents' murder and that kind of thing. And I'm locked up in this insane asylum.
Yeah. And as much as I'm picking at this show, and there's like so many things I don't like about how they did, there's a number of things along the way that I really sort of really got excited about. Like the first time you see him sort of charge his fist up and like
I marked out.
Yeah, like massively hard. I was just oh god damn, this is what I've been waiting for, Like
one thing I loved as well, the soundtrack.
Oh, soundtrack's great.
So well handled. Like, you had a good mix of that kind of that electro Stranger Things kind of vibe whenever they were kind of developing the corporate espionage and delving into the secrets and history, paired with a lot of the classic hip-hop and stuff. And I feel like that's going to be an easy way for them to link Iron Fist and Luke Cage, is that love of the old school hip-hop.
Well, I was kind of do we touch on if people show up or don't show up in it?
If you think in the way I'm thinking, go for it.
Okay, well, I was expecting
Luke Cage
to come in. I was also expecting Misty Knight.
Yeah.
In the comics, Misty Knight and Danny Rand become a couple for like quite a long time. And he and Luke Cage are like best buds.
They're all three characters are very intrinsically linked, aren't they?
Heroes for Hire, they start their own little sort of
side business.
Almost. Yeah, mini superhero company. I was expecting either of them for just something.
Yeah, even a post-credits scene or something that. You would have felt like, all right, this is how we're going to link it all together. We don't really get that.
And it was surprising, because I thought Danny Rand was going to pop up in the Luke Cage series. And when he didn't, I was really surprised.
Yeah.
Like, sorry if you haven't seen the Luke Cage series, but...
it's a little late for that.
It was like things like that just seemed like no-brainers.
Yeah.
Like, especially considering, like, within the comics as well, like Luke Cage and Iron Fist are like, they're like...
Yeah.
So sort of tight knit. It's missed opportunity.
Really, really. As much as it sounds like we've really dumped on the show quite hard, I did enjoy vast portions of it. Like on the whole, I enjoyed it. I just felt like you say. I felt like the whole show was kind of a missed opportunity. There was a series of missed opportunities that could have been developed further and turned into something amazing, but it just kind of never got over that hill.
Yeah, I found that just. I felt that it kind of, I think I was talking to you about it, how like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, which I did quite like quite a lot, they kind of both dipped in the middle. Yeah. I didn't find this dip so much in the middle, and it went on a decent sort of incline, if you're going to think of it like a chart.
Yes.
But it just, even when it got to where it was going, it didn't really achieve much. I just found the writing was really poor, and that's what kind of killed me, because the Iron Fist stuff that I really like was written so well, and it's like, it's all there for the taking. Even if you don't want to show Kunlun. Like,
you can still take it in a direction where you're going to build on that and kind of take people on that journey.
And the basics of, like, just fight sequences that are, like, you know, at least better than, like, your standard sort of whatever. That's like, it's like...
So, yeah, to kind of wrap things up, we do recommend watching it, especially if you've enjoyed the other Netflix series that Marvel have put out, especially if you plan on watching Defenders, because it looks like this is going to tie in quite heavily.
Yeah, well, it's the next step, almost like if you are, even if you haven't seen Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, you've only seen the two Daredevil ones, definitely watch this, because I'm sure, I'm just going to assume that the hand's going to be a big part of Defenders.
I feel like that's going to be the case as well, especially with Sigourney Weaver playing the main villain for the Defenders series as well. There's a lot of rumors about who she's going to play. Possibly the Beast, which is the leader of the Hand, is kind of the demonic entity that's driving the whole thing.
That'd be cool.
I'd lose my mind. To be honest, if I saw that, I would mark out pretty hard. But
Defenders is also only going to be 8 episodes?
It is, yes, which I think is a great move. It's one thing I've heard from a lot of people, that the Netflix series really should be brought down to 10 episodes, each of them, because they kind of get, you can feel it a lot of the time when they get to, say, episode 7 or 8. And then you get like a 2 or 3 episode arc where they're just spinning their wheels a little bit, filler episodes, and really they don't need them. Like, you've got, you're under no compulsion to do 13 episode seasons. If it works, awesome. If it's necessary, awesome, go for it. If it's not necessary, don't just do it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah, it's kind of makes them drag a little bit, whereas if you could, like, I said the same thing about Jessica Jones. It was like 13 episodes. I said if you made it like 10, it just would have been like fantastic across the board. But it was really good too. But yeah, I think this one, the Iron Fist, suffers from that as well. But
if you had to give it a rating out of 10, what would you give it?
Oh.
The thinking's happening. We need the Mastermind music to go.
Yeah. Honestly, it's tough, man. I think I'd be being generous if I gave it a 6. I'd probably give it maybe a 5.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
My being a defense-sitting man that I am sometimes, I'm giving it 6.5.
Okay.
Because I did enjoy vast portions of it, but it can't get any beyond that. 6.5 is the generous kind of level.
Yeah, it is. There's also a lot of inconsistencies.
Definitely.
And I'll bring a point up that that my girlfriend made that I actually didn't even think of. There's like a scene in the very first episode where he's walking along, as he does, and he jumps to a balcony. Like, I mean, a massive leap.
Yeah.
Like no normal human can do that. Yeah. So it's like showing a bit of his powers that he can do. But he doesn't do it at all in the remaining 12 episodes. A little inconsistencies like that just make no sense.
Even after that scene where he leaps over the car, he does like the amazing backflip like that. That never happens again.
No.
Not even when he's fully charged and he's so focused his chi and he's centered later on. You never see him do that ever again. It's like, well, why didn't you just do that thing you did in the first episode?
Yeah.
Like, that literally was 2 months ago.
Even with the sort of the fight scenes, I mean, the fight scenes are actually, like, they're enjoyable and all, don't get me wrong. I just sort of was expecting a higher standard. Even them being what they are, I'm okay with, but I just can't forgive a lot of the dodgy writing. Like, there's a scene, I won't say where it is, but, like, someone has a gun to him. He knocks the gun out of the person's hand and runs off. It's like, you're the immortal Iron Fist.
You're the immortal Iron Fist, not Finding Dory.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't be swimming away right now.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, makes no sense. And like, I'm definitely one of those people that, like, I can forgive certain things, but just sort of little sort of inconsistencies and sort of bad writing like that's not good. But there is a lot of cool stuff in it. Yeah.
I think it's good with a show like this to have somebody who's as big a fan as you, Adam, for Iron Fist as the character. And being honest, like, it's what we pride ourselves here on Sounds Like Comics, is honest opinions.
Yeah.
Like, it's all well and good. We'll give you some background and stuff like that, but we're not just going to sugarcoat things. We're not just going to talk about things for the sake of talking about it. We have an opinion. We want to put it out there, and we want you to hear it as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had quite high expectations, and I've spoken to people that know nothing about it, had no expectation, and even they had a lot of issues with it. Also, just for a bit of background, I'm not someone that just, like, basically shits on everything. I really, really enjoyed the two Daredevil seasons.
Yep.
I'd say this is definitely the weakest of the Marvel Netflix series.
Agreed, I definitely like that.
Yeah, it kind of like hurts a little bit that I had to come in here and sort of say so much bad things about a character I like so much.
I'm sorry to put you through this, man.
No, it's fine. It's, it's cool because they've just started a new Iron Fist series right now as well.
Yeah, they have. Have you had a chance to read that?
I have, actually.
Yeah, what did you think?
I think it looks really cool.
I really enjoyed it. Ed Brisson is the writer on this one, who has worked on a few Image series here and there. I will say, just from based on this first issue, it gave me the Immortal Iron Fist vibes. It gave me that Fraction and Brubaker vibe with the whole going to this new tournament, proving himself, needing a challenge to feel like he can achieve his full status as the Iron Fist and be, you know, the king of chi, so to speak.
It does feel a lot more like, because the previous run we had was called Iron Fist, the living weapon.
Living Weapon, yeah.
Yeah, by Cary Andrews.
Yes,
that's right. It was really sort of out there, very sort of mystical and crazy.
Yeah, it was a very intense and insane kind of series. Like, it was cool. It was different for Iron Fist, but I think this new series that Ed Brisson, I think it's Mike Perkins doing the art, who just worked on the Carnage series for Marvel as well.
Yeah, the art looks cool.
It looks really cool.
But the last one was a lot more into the mystical sort of wider realm and stuff, whereas this seems a bit more like, I guess, more reality based in some ways.
This feels like it's got that kind of noir kung fu mix that we loved of the Fraction and Brubaker Iron Fist run.
And one thing they haven't done with this new series is what a lot of comics that we've seen over the years, when a movie comes out or whatever, it's not basically changing it.
Rewrite the series to
Danny Rand's got short straight hair, he doesn't have the curly, he doesn't look like the TV guy.
Yeah, you haven't suddenly redrawn him to look like Finn Jones or anything.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
And which it's also almost a contrast as well, because there's currently a Power Man and Iron Fist series that's going on, which is quite quirky, and
it is very fun, and like
Danny Rand's always wisecracking and stuff, which isn't too bad, but it's almost a little corny at times, whereas
that series they kind of went with more of the Ultimate Spider-Man bro dude surfer kind of vibe.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, chill, dude. It'll be fine. I'll fix it. And it's like, that works.
It has gotten a lot better.
It has, yeah.
Yeah. But this new series looks like it's, definitely much more like the Iron Fist that I kind of fell in love with back in 2005.
Which is what we like to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for being on the show, man.
We very much
appreciate it. Did you enjoy Iron Fist? Do you enjoy the comic books as well? We want to hear from you. Hit us up at facebook.com/soundslikecomicspodcast. Where can we find you online, Adam?
Oh.
What are we promoting? Come on, plug yourself.
Okay,
promote yourself. Put yourself out.
Check out Explosive Pro Wrestling or EPW Perth on like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're on all that stuff. There's also epwperth.com. If you want to see some awesome West Australian wrestling, we've got a Vimeo channel as well, where you can check out all sorts of Explosive Pro Wrestling action and hear my commentary. Also, The Dead White Males. You got to remember The. We're on Facebook and on SoundCloud if you want to hear our stuff. You can hear it but can't download it, because we now have an EP up on iTunes if you want to pay money for it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, I'm Gareth.
I'm Adam.
We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Come on to the coast. We'll get together. Have a few laughs.